Well, hi, folks. Welcome back. We've been joined by Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, give us a few moments of your time, please.
I thought that's what I was doing already.
You were doing great earlier. I was really fascinated, and always have been, by your discussions of New Zealand, and especially the originals there. You talked, I believe, at one point with quite a few of the holy men, the shamans, that are in New Zealand. Am I correct in this?
No. I spoke to Maori elders. I wouldn't consider them shaman or anything, but yeah.
Okay. I'm very much interested in what they had to say. Would you tell us a bit about it?
Well, I was the first journalist to be invited down to the Temple of the Four Winds in Tikawiti. It's about 200 kilometers south of where I'm living now. And that temple's been there for about 150 years, and the British burnt it down in the 1950s, and they had to create a new building and everything. And on the way down there, I got to speak with one of the elders, and he was just telling me, as we were driving down, all these different things. Every time we drove past a graveyard, he'd toot the horn and go, "G'day, brothers!" You know? Yeah, it was really, really cool. And basically, the reason why we were going down there is because they'd had an official declaration of kind of independence from the crown, the state, you know, the oppressive government. And what was dawning on me down there was that there seemed to be two types of Māori, and it seems like one section of Māori, what we call the corporate Māori, and they control trusts, tribal accounts, things like that, employ lots of lawyers, have plenty of funding and that kind of thing, and they don't have any original bloodline traced back to the chiefs. And the other one is the ones with the original bloodline, what we call the kingitanga. Kingi meaning king, obviously, and tanga meaning bloodline.
Got it.
And they don't have any money, and they don't have any support from the government, and they are basically trying to fight for people's freedoms and rights and things of that nature. And they didn't have the opportunity to spread a message like that because of the fact that they're not selling their people out or other people's people. And
right.
That's why they invited me down there. And I was the only journalist ever to be invited down there. And I was very deeply honored to be among these elders. And they have such a great sense of humor, and we had a lot of good laughs, smoked a lot of weed, and I think for the elder which I'm talking about, Lewis, he went to Vietnam in the late 60s and spent a year or two there in the New Zealand Armed Forces, and he got exposed to Agent Orange when he was there, and while he was away, the government compulsorily acquired his tribal land, and he'd been trying for the last 30 years to get it back, and unfortunately, earlier on this year, he died, and he didn't get it back. But while we were there, he made this speech to the gathering about what the point was in all of this, why they were trying to succeed from the government, why they were trying to set up their own independent state with their own rights. And basically, he said, it's not for us. It's not for any of us that are here. It's not for those who have already been born. It's not for the next generation, but it's for the generations yet to be born. And I think that kind of really resonated with me, because the elders seem to have a greater tie to time than I do as a young man. And even they were cognizant that they need to be able to transcend time, and more specifically transcend their own time and that which they can predict, to go forward and do things that will help those that they can't predict, that aren't here yet. And something that triggered in me was about this inherent sense of responsibility even for things that don't even exist yet. And I think that's quite a great stand to take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How cognizant are they of the rest of the world and the environmental issues like the radiation, like water shortages, etc., changing weather? Are they cognizant of it, and what are their thoughts on it if they are?
Well, basically, they're kind of like truthers, you know. I mean, or at least this particular tribe was, and they think very much the same along the rest of ours. Climate change is, you know, the climate changes, it does. And setting up a world government with carbon taxes on all human activity ain't going to change that. I mean, you know.
In a big way.
Can I ask something about the tribes? Who is the chief Anohana? Is he in the tribe that you're talking about, or is he in the other tribe?
I don't know.
Never chief Anohana, he's like at the old, he's the old chief. I used to have paintings from New Zealand of them.
I don't know who you're talking about, so sorry, can't answer.
Is it true that there's only one bird there?
No, there's many birds here.
I just thought that there was only one bird. Maybe it's only one nocturnal bird. I don't know. But
No. You know how that's like saying the America only has the bald eagle.
I know, but
because you know you use a single bird for a as a symbol, right? As a symbol of the country, and America uses a bird of prey that is fast and strong and powerful, and we use a bird that can't fly, only cruises around in the dark, has a really long beak that he sticks deep into the mud in order to eat little worms. And incidentally, this is the symbol of our Air Force, is a flightless bird. And
I'm sorry.
The irony is not lost on me, because somebody did a critical analysis of just if we were invaded by somebody like America or something, how long would our Air Force last? And apparently it would last about 7 minutes. So I think a flightless bird is actually just about right, you know, for the symbol for our minuscule Air Force. So.
That's really interesting. It's really interesting. It's like if you take the spirit even further, I worked for Disney for a very short instant, and there they said one of the phrases that they used in the it wasn't brainwashing, it's like in our indoctrination, which is like reinforced over and over again, they repeat themselves 1,000 times, and they said, "We are a team of eagles flying in unison." Obviously, eagles don't fly in unison, but isn't that so brilliant? And that's what we should be, as truth, as eagles flying in unison, rather than, I would say sparrows, but the easiest way to say it would be lemmings jumping off a cliff. Isn't that better to be?
I don't think the lemmings example works, because the reason why they discovered that lemmings jump off a cliff is because a bunch of scientists were actually trying to catch some of them, and they chased a herd of them off a cliff. And instead of admitting, you know, we just kind of killed all these poor animals, they just jump off cliffs randomly, you know, just don't, you know, how people have those shifty eyes like, nothing to see here.
April the 1st joke on the BBC. That just shows you how wonderful the BBC is, isn't it? Yeah. You know what, Vinny? They even told me when I was really young and didn't really get it because my parents were telling me something completely otherwise. I thought that spaghetti grow on trees because, like, that's what they said. Yeah, I didn't know where it came from.
God.
So it's the BBC. It must be true.
It doesn't. Mm. It doesn't grow on trees.
I got an easy lesson there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting about the lemmings myth. So it's very interesting to watch the conversation go, and I'm just going to continue to stay muted. I think I'm in the presence of greatness from everybody on the call, by the way. So I just want to say yo. And okay, I'm gonna mute
if you say so.
Well, I was delighted to hear you, Angie. It's always good to have your I miss you on Revolution Radio, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not gone. I just took a little breather. You know, that's all. I just took a little breather. You know, I loves me my RR. I love Revolution Radio. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just focusing on some other things in my life right now. I'm trying to make a dollar. You know, that's
so. Are you telling me that you took a break from RR to get some R&R?
No R&R here. It's all about focusing on a business that I'm helping to create. But that's funny.
It's kind of like the pirate station, you know. RR.
Hey, that would be a good promo. You guys should do. You guys, all the dudes should make a promo like that. That's
kind of. I don't know. I think I can do an R.
You could do. Yeah. Hey, you too. There you go. Why not?
We could always do. We could always do Revolution Radio Pirate Day.
Or you could do a Tim Allen impression.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this network is. It's just Home Improvement on steroids.
That's right.
Then you are now a part of it. And just let everyone know here, if you don't mind, I'll just chime in. Vinny Eastwood, welcome to Revolution Radio, as your debut show was this evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Revolution Radio Studio B. And we are just thrilled to have you as our latest, latest addition, but also as a revered host. So thank you for joining our station.
Thank you, Vinny.
And welcome to the chaos. Welcome to the zoo. There you go.
Or stream of consciousness, as the case may be.
Yeah, it's the stream of consciousness, SJ, straight up. Good job, SJ.
Well, we got to give Heather, because she's my co-host and producer. Yeah. And Nora of the Eanes is our favorite. Noreen is one of our favorite underground artists and, information sources. Yeah. And a wonderful conversationalist, thank God. I think it's rather sprightly to have two ladies producing and working with me.
We work together everywhere.
Yes.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be in the presence of these wonderful ladies as well. And SJ, we go back a long way. Hyro
right
and
I have come,
since the beginning, really. And then also to have Hyro on the call is also a treat. So, Vinny, welcome to the organized chaos, and just glad to have you aboard.
Well, Revolution Radio has been after me for quite some time. Back when I was on American Freedom Radio kind of thing, I was like, no, sorry, I've got a network. And then American Freedom Radio tanked and went down. I'd be basically spending a year waiting for them to come back until it dawned on me that they're kind of maybe not. The people at Revolution Radio, you know, God bless them, have been after me like a little psycho robot, like constantly, you know, and just, Vinny, do you want a show? It's like, I can't be bothered resisting anymore. Why not?
Nice.
Well, I remember talking to you 4 years ago. And I've enjoyed your shows ever since, and I'm delighted you're here. We have quite a group tonight on the show. I'm delighted to have you available for talk. I mean, this is all about talking with people instead of at them, but occasionally a good diatribe, a good rant, a good conversation is a delight.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to bring up Bruce McDonald as well as on the call. I forgot to mention his name. Yes, and I'm sorry. I loves me my Bruce as well. Bruce is quite a brain in his own right. So we're on this really an interesting call right now with lots of brain power
All Bruce around the planet.
I forgot he was there, Bruce. But also, like SJ told you, please leave pauses so that other people can interject.
Pyro.
Well, here's the thing. I get in trouble for it occasionally, but I think one of the interesting things about talk radio is that we're talking ideally with people and not at them. You know, we're trying to bring out ideas that people haven't had so they can connect up the ideas that they do have with other people's ideas. And that's the whole point of this. Because some of what goes on is very speculative. And some of it is, and what we have to do is open up the line so people, even with speculative ideas, can have their voice, you know, if not only to encourage other people to call in and talk with us. You know, I want to know what your ideas are, and ideally, one of the ideas we talk about is going to spring, is going to trigger some connections that might make a difference in other people. Over.
Yeah, because I just came off of 2 hours of straight ranting and then an hour of hardcore editing after that, and my archives are already all up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And, you know, it's just kind of like I work really fast nowadays, and I think it's because I've stopped smoking weed, you know. And when when you talk about, like, ideas, right, a lot of people are really, really sure about them. You know, it's very cut and dry. And for me, none of my ideas are cut and dry, except when it comes to weed.
Well, you know,
Hang on one moment, sorry, SJ. How do you spell Vinny? Is that V-I-N-N-I-E?
No, that's with a Y, because like it's the most important question, you know.
Why?
And what Eastwood like?
Like, go ahead. Make my news.
All right. Okay, .com. All right.
It's 357 Jimmy, or Vinny. Well, my first name is Vincent as well, Vinny.
It is?
It's Vincent Sofra. That's my actual first name. Wow. It's my grandfather's name, so I'm happy to be a Vincent and rather proud of it.
Yeah, it means the conqueror. So it's originally an Italian name.
Yep.
I was going to say I know some Vincents, and they are all very. I don't think proud, and if there's any negative connotation to the word proud, that's not what I meant. But they're very you know, proud. I would say, yeah. I
love that she corrects herself by saying the exact same thing. I wouldn't say he's a douchebag, but I'd say that he's a douchebag.
Proud is a compliment. I just want to say that. That was
well,
what I was trying to go with.
Well,
I'm going
to
shut up now.
I have something interesting to interject here because my phone's like playing up a little bit, so I took the SIM card out of it to grab a few files off of it, and I found this video that I took like about a year and a half ago with this guy who is, you know how some of those people, they can like get your name, assign numbers and characters to the letters, and then characteristics and attributes to your personality based upon what your name is and what you choose to call yourself?
Yep.
Like, I don't call myself Vincent, I don't call myself Vince, I call myself Vince. Right, and that's kind of what all my friends call me. I mean, my brother and my sisters, they call me Vince, you know, because it's a derogatory kind of thing. they shorten it, you know.
Cut me down to size. 1930s Chicago gangster.
Yeah. So what this guy told me was that if you're a Vinny, it means you're a talker. A big talker, and it's not just like an overbearing bossy type talker, but it's more like if you think something, you kind of have to say it sort of thing. And
well, luckily it's well thought out.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
Well, I may be.
We're giving Vinny some love.
That's
aww.
Right.
You know, he deserves enough persecution over there. You get enough persecution on the street, jeepers. I was listening.
Yeah, well, getting out into the street is fun.
Well, your efforts precede you, Vinny. I mean, I remember listening to you 4 years ago, you know, when we first explored Revolution Radio as alternate internet broadcasting. And you were doing American Freedom Network or something?
American Freedom Radio, yeah. I think that was when American I was on Radio, yeah. I got given the spot as co-host with Brent Johnson of the American Freedom Report, and they changed it to the Global Freedom Report, and then they fired Brent because I was better, and they gave it to me.
Pretty much. Like, I mean, there it is. So, well, you know, I had something to add, or at least explore regarding your comments about being Vincent, Vince, or Vinny. You know, I grew up as Angie, and my family calls me Angie, but, you know, I go by Angela, and it's very funny. People call me Ange, whatever they want, but, you know, my professional name is Angela, you know, which basically is, you know, an angel, you know, so that's me. I just wanted to throw that out there, but it's funny, SJ... SJ, I never knew that you were Vince. Vincent. Are you Vince?
It's actually,
Vincent, or what
it's actually Vincent Patrick, which is conquering noble in terms of word meaning. And I've always explored that with my friends. I used to look up their names just to see how well they were attached to other people's attributions. You know, it's a fascinating linguistic exploration.
Yeah, whereas my one's just Vincent Eastwood. So I think that kind of means the conqueror who's got an erection that rises in the east.
Hopefully.
That's a good one.
You know, like...
Long live the rain.
My name is Hiro Amun. The first two... I
mean, as long as we're sharing each other with Amun. Love here.
Yeah, okay. Right,
yeah.
Hiro, go ahead.
I'm not going to show you with love. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. I've told you all already that's not going to happen. But Hiro Amun means warrior. It means Xena, warrior princess.
Good. How appropriate.
That's hilarious.
Yes, well, I'm sure he totally came up with that originally, you know.
Yeah, don't say anything, Vinny.
Well, this is sort of the internet radio version of a Mozilla party.
Nah.
You told me about those parties in the past, and I swear.
I don't even know what a Mozilla party is. Is it like some kind of a party where there's some form of Italian cheese there, or is that a mozzarella party?
No, Mozilla. It's an oil.
Mozilla is an oil that turns out to be a fairly good lubricant for social occasions.
Oh my goodness! Is this show
is that a nice way of putting it?
That I didn't expect. I'm just kidding.
It's technically so late at night, you know.
It's a dump. You West Coasters just define social in a whole different way.
Thank you.
We're talking San Francisco days in the late 60s, a dozen people and a quart of Mozilla oil.
I don't want to know anymore.
And then we left it to everybody's imagination.
And then after the stock market crash, they had to use Crisco.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Because there was more of a market.
I'm more specifically referring to the oil price shock.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, was there a surge in the price? Exactly. Okay. Oh, so there was a surge in Mozilla, right?
There was a surge of some description.
Well, there were all surges, you know, at these Mozilla parties. It was a big deal back then. And in the 60s, we took it from Mozilla oil to Kama Sutra oil, which was significantly evolved.
And but it's significantly more expensive.
Well, yeah. Well, there's nothing actually new. All of this stuff has been around forever. You know, we just put a little bit of a twist on it so we can make it comfortable. Over.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Mothers of invention. In the late 60s, I traded my algebra teacher. The mother for the trilogy, you know, Frodo and the trilogy. Yeah. That's what I did. It was one of my favorite trades. You know, I read the trilogy every winter. I love that series of books.
You know, you broke
me
up
too.
For the
Die Hard is my favorite.
The Die Hard trilogy.
I was joking. It's not even a trilogy, is it? So, how many? Can I ask you a simple? All of you, just one question. How many of you? What percentage would you put to what you can buy as in good ingredients? Like we're talking about oils there. Those are good oils that people are using there. How many
for good reasons?
Oils and food. What percentage of that is correct? Because like Vinny has a good joke about what you do in the kitchen and stuff, but like, how much do you think is as non-bad ingredient free in your cupboards and your oils and the things you're buying?
One of my favorite things I buy occasionally, and it lasts a long time, is I'll name the name of that store. I go to Sprouts, and I like to buy my hemp oil there, which I'm assuming is organic. It's pretty good, and it lasts a long time, but I don't use it every day. I use it maybe once a week, but I really love it, and I use organic turmeric from the same store, and those, off the top of my head, are probably some of the two of my favorites besides a few other things in my kitchen, but yeah, off the top of my
and
head.
And I love a good organic coconut oil as well.
Oh, yeah, I buy that too, yeah.
I like a good orgasm from coconut oil too. Wait, is that what we were talking
about? It was, Vinny. And by the way, just FYI, Vinny, you did start it with the creative translation of your name. So that's how this whole thing started, was it was your fault. FYI.
When all else fails, blame Vinny.
and they do. All right, so
I'm a better scapegoat than most people. You know, I can take it.
You're an impressive enough guest that even Hiro is listening.
Yeah, I remember when Hiro was talking before about
years. I've annoyed him already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I recall what Hiro said earlier. You know, you've got to leave a little gap in between your speaks so other people can interject. What he meant was so I can interject. You know,
that's true. That's absolutely true.
No, I didn't. Oh yeah, Bruce. Yes. What was your
totally busted?
That was a percentage, not what's organic. Yes, he did bust me. But like Bruce, what's your percentage of organic stuff? Not organic, non-offensive food.
What's the percentage of non-scumbaggery comestible items in your cupboard? And
percentage of scumbaggery items.
Can I answer it? The question.
Please do.
Okay, honey, I get Manuka honey, and my question to you, Vinny, is I've heard some rumors. There's been rumors that the Manuka honey that comes in from New Zealand, something might be wrong with it because there might be some bee issue, mutant venomous bees. You know, because they use the Manuka bees or whatever.
Do you know what Manuka is?
The honey?
No. It's a tree.
Oh, Manuka. Yeah, oh, yeah, Manuka tree, right. Where I thought it was a tea tree.
It is
actually.
A tea tree. And yes. I met a guy called Manuka, and I say, like the tree. And he's like, bro, you're the first person in my entire life who has said, like the tree. Everybody else says,
wow.
Like the honey.
Are you crazy? That's so cool.
But it is a tea tree where we get tea tree oil. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, you can burn tea tree, just cut it straight off the tree and then just chuck it on a fire and it goes up like, because there's so much oil in the leaves.
Off the Manuka tree, right? Yeah. I'm just, okay. We don't have those here.
And my uncle, Phil, is actually a beekeeper, and he was the beekeeper who actually invented a methodology of transporting bees, specifically queens, and actually selling them around the world. And I did a summer on his beekeeping farm, and it was kind of awesome, actually. I mean, I saw more cockroaches than I've ever seen in my life, like infesting some of the nests and the boxes. And something that's been happening in New Zealand is that we're experiencing, like a lot of the rest of the world, so-called colony collapse. And a number of things have been blamed for this. For example, if you spray down plants with Roundup and then a bee lands on that plant and tries to harvest some honey out of it, in a lot of cases they don't actually make it back to the hive. Because they're being exposed to pesticide and herbicide and so on and so forth. And other people have been claiming that a lot of the wireless signals, radiation, cell phone towers and things of that nature are messing with the bees' natural little GPS things and the little feelers, and they haven't been able to make it back to the hive, and because they can't make it back, they can't get any sustenance and they die. And this, of course, leads to the degeneration of the hives. On top of that, we've got a infestation of an Australian parasite, obviously from the Australian.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Obviously from the Australian government, and they're just parasites in general. They're still in Australia, but this thing called a varroa mite came over here, and
varroa.
It's different to Vegemite.
Not to be mixed up with a Vegemite from Australia.
Yeah,
too.
Look at you two.
Just joking.
Okay, varroa mite. Okay.
Yeah, varroa mite. It's distinctly different from Vegemite and Marmite and Vaginamite, and the
oh,
and but like Vaginamite, it sticks on the back of the bee and irritates it to for a very long period of time until it dies, like it, like most people, like most women's husbands. And I'm just joking here, of course. I'm married. I can make these jokes. Kind of like if I was married, if I was black, I could make certain jokes. You know, it would be great.
Like most husbands on their wives, but don't forget about like most wives on their husbands. And, you know,
it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
I'm just saying, regarding the first half hour, at least, of your subject matter, I just wanted to, you know, make sure it was an equal opportunity back hugger.
Oh. I'm I thought I was the one that made people feel uncomfortable.
Barber of beekeepers, and I found that the poisons that they use, specifically the one that you mentioned, has a half-life of 19 years in the soil. And in the U.S., the thinking on the bee problem is pretty well centered on pesticides and herbicides migrating from the original spray areas to adjacent areas that have beehives, honey beehives. So that's currently the thinking in the U.S., I feel safe in saying. I like to read everything I can about beekeeping in the United States, although I don't raise honeybees. I raise mason bees, and they're called mason bees because they plaster, yes. They plaster the end of their nest with a thin layer of mud that protects the young bees from mites and other organisms that chew on bees in general. And I've popped open a few of my tubes, nest tubes. A mason bee will, they prefer like a 5/16 hole, and they will put in three males who will hatch first, and a series of females that will hatch subsequently and mate with the males. Males, of course, die quickly, as most drone bees do. And these ladies will do several thousand visits per day. And they pollinate like crazy. They brought back my neighborhood's fruit trees when developers took out five of the major houses that had large gardens in the neighborhood. Over.
Well, I think that's quite interesting, and bees are really essential for it, the survival of plant life, right? And one thing that happened recently, one of my listeners, or sponsors rather, has a couple of fruit trees outside his place, and the honeybees have died off, and what he noticed is that they actually have been replaced by these small native New Zealand birds that are now coming to these trees where the bees used to go and actually spreading the pollen around. So it's
Like a hummingbird?
They're very similar to they're kind of small, and they're similar to a hummingbird, but they don't hum, and they don't they're not a hummingbird basically, but they're little.
Something
about the size.
Similar happened here, Vinny. Something similar happened here. That I have a 3 foot by 4 foot little, like a 3 foot nose by 6 foot balcony, and I grew some plants here in order to make myself self-sufficient. But I also had some flowers and things going on, and the same thing happened here. I didn't have bees come. I had a little like lots of like Chinese people. I used to rubbing on the flowers and like seeing if they could pollinate them all over the place.
Well, yep. you know what they say: as soon as one door closes, another gets slammed in your face.
Well, that was that. Even though that seems ridiculous, they've actually started doing that. They've got some people like trying to replace the what bees do, which is ridiculous.
Mm. I have a friend that describes our version of the vicious cycle as a vicious square, because every time you get up speed, you slam into a 90-degree wall.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of an Alanis Morissette moment. It's an ironic. Isn't it ironic?
Yeah. So,
you know, actually,
I think that's what we're going. Yeah.
This gives me an idea. I should so totally do a remix of that song and call it Moronic. And isn't it moronic?
There you go.
Don't you
now,
think?
Now, you know what?
Oh, my gosh. That's
it's like
hey.
Voting for Barack O'Berry.
You're welcome.
It's the free Obama phone that he bought with your money.
You're going to make fun of my phone, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
I know a guy who just got a free Obama phone. That's very
oh, my Lord, he got an Obama phone.
You're welcome. I'm here to inspire.
I remember that one. Mm-hmm.
Don't
Sorry.
Make fun of my yes. phone. I'm just joking.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Help.
Yes.
Hey, hold on a second, gang.
I was freaking out. Okay.
Hold on a second, gang. Let's do a quick promo of the station.
Yeah, that's right.
To benefit. Would you like to do it, Noreen? You're excellent at it.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah, we could all do it. I'll start. As you guys know, listeners out there, hello. We got with us quite a crew here on Studio B, and this is Revolution Radio. So, in order to keep
stream
this,
of consciousness.
Yeah, that's right. Aha. This is SJ and Heather's stream of consciousness. And you were able to listen to this show because of your generosity. So, to keep it going, hit the site support button on freedomslips.com and donate whatever amount you want, buy the products, and keep this whole engine going so we can have these awesome people. There we go.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. So please
hey,
donate.
I got a joke for that. What do you call a professional mustache?
Got me.
A promo.
I used to call my mustache a fancy tickler.
What do you call an ice cube with a moustache on it?
Got me?
An Eskimo.
Eskimo.
Hey, Bruce, you haven't heard from me in a while. You have anything to say?
You can hear that you're speaking to these lower class people, except for Bruce. And Bruce is about to speak. But if you do wish to donate, think about it. You could be paying for me to have endless champagne and an infinity pool with a beautiful, beautiful apartment, like Simon Cowell, but better, if you don't mind.
No.
And many of them.
Why better?
And why not just like send a couple of cents to just a couple of cents that happen to be sitting on the end of your PayPal to Revolution Radio or VinnieEastwood.com.
Hey, Bruce, what are you going to say? Let Bruce talk, you guys.
Going to say that, you know, trying to get into this conversation.
I know. It's been hard.
Trying to get a second plate of supper at an overcrowded orphanage.
That's right.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. Oh gosh.
You invaded Brad and you have nothing to say.
50 minutes.
I bet you do. Bruce, what about bees? What did you think there?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I noticed in they're everywhere in Costa Rica when I'm in Costa Rica. You can't rent a house there that doesn't have two or three beehives on it. And I don't know why. North America's having a collapse and a lot of the world is, but certain parts, I was just astounded by that, how there's just so many bees down there.
You know? It must be because of the NAFTA highway, bro.
Oh, baby.
Much easier to travel on.
Yeah, I don't think it goes that far south, Vinny. I think it stops in Mexico.
That's because it was a joke.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Funny ha-ha. Funny ha-ha.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, Bruce got it.
Bruce is beautiful. You know, as are pretty much everyone on the call, as is. What?
What does cerebral mean, seriously?
I think...
Of the mind.
Yeah,
of the mind.
By the brain, straight up.
Of the brain, not the mind. Let's go mind and brain and spirit, shall we? Mind, brain, spirit, soul. How far shall we go?
All the way.
Vinny, I've been listening to you for years, for a few years since AFR. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yeah.
Well, do you have any questions for me?
why the hiatus? I think you gave a brief explanation tonight. You said you needed just sort of reset yourself and, you know, reboot. But
I'm a loyal guy. I'm a loyal person, even to people that well, basically, yeah, that's basically it. I wanted to stay off air for a bit just to give myself a grace period before rejoining another network. I wanted to see what it was like for a year on my own, how I could produce my show by myself, do it the way I wanted, and it turns out that it's extremely time-consuming when you don't have a network, when you don't have a producer, when you have to do everything yourself, as well as there's not so much of a payoff on it, because it means that my audience was only the people that went to my website. It wasn't people listening to it on Spreaker or AM/FM stations or anything of that nature.
Tune in.
But AFR gave me...
Please plug your where your files are, where your old shows are available.
At thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com is one word. Because I had such a loyalty to AFR, and in particular the owner of the network, Danny Romero, for giving me my show in the first place, and I felt, I don't know whether or not I felt like I owed it to them or something like that. I just didn't feel comfortable just jumping ship all of a sudden because it was still raw for me.
Yeah. I just as a final caveat, what I enjoy most about your shows and what I heard on AFR, your interview skills. You can get a really good 2-hour conversation going with somebody.
Well, I think it's like I'm definitely not like any other radio show host. And in fact, there was this one time I was like, you know what? Bugger it. I haven't listened to other people's talk radio in a long time. I'm gonna go through, you know, and I was like cruising through the channels and all these different websites, and the first thing I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna put me into a fetal position.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
And the second one, and I was like, oh my God, this is so boring. And I've heard it before. And the next one was like, and I was like, gee, I'm going to stab myself in the earlobe with a screwdriver. And until finally, I actually went to my own archives and went, my God, this is a good show. just
went up. It was.
I wound up listening to like 6 straight episodes. Like it was on random. It's like randomly, you can pick any episode of the Vinnie Eastwood show, and it's freaking awesome. Like, and
you're absolutely amazing.
I will back that up. That is true. All his shows.
So,
great.
So when people
and he
come
has
to me,
all the best guests.
When people come to me and they say, "So, Vinnie, can you recommend a good show?" and I'm like, "Go for your life, son. They're all good." I mean, there's some that are really freaking spectacular. Like, what was my favorite ever interview? I think it was with Cliff High from Half Past Human from the Webbot program.
Oh, yeah, Cliff. Yeah.
Damn, that was a good interview, yo. And strangely enough, it's not even top of the list on my featured interviews page. It's like down there a little bit on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I should probably move that, you know, just shuffle it around a little. Up there next to David Icke and John Perkins. Hey, John Perkins actually said something to me. He says, "There's a lot of people who do what you do, Vinny, but you're the best." I was like, whoa.
That's a good fit.
Okay.
I think you're the Bradley Noel of interviewing.
I don't even know who Noel is.
He was the lead singer of Sublime.
Oh my God. It's funny you should mention that, because me and my mate Mike, we just made a song called Santeria in honor of Sublime the other night around the campfire.
Synchronicity there.
Yeah, and we got it recorded. Yeah, So we're gonna publish.
Yeah, they're local to Southern California here, so some of us know. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you know, he's every you know, he's really amazing. There's one line in a song that he sings, and he was asking, I believe, his Ruka, if he was her only, and she said, "You're not the only, but you're certainly the best, Bradley." And so that was my point.
My favorite Sublime song is that one right there.
Yeah, I love that. Anyway, so I just gave you high props, and I'm not even kissing your, you know what, at this point. Like, I literally just got inspired and thought I'd tell you that. So you just came up with the song Santeria in honor of Bradley Nowell. Where?
Just down the back of the fire. My mate Mikhail plays an amazing flamenco guitar, and I'm you know what an autodidact is? There's somebody who can teach themselves by reading a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like an auto-sing that, you know? Somebody can just start playing a song, playing some music, and I'll come up with an entire song, completely made up off the top of my head sort of thing, in rhythm with the music.
So you got it's
not only the medium of books. Autodidact means self-teaching. That's why the word, if you look at that word, didact, you look at that word, you pick out the stem part in the middle, you can see there are other words, there are all sorts of different words around it that are, anyway, I don't want to bore you there.
I wrote anyway,
your book. See, if when it comes to being an autodidact in terms of music, you're just an auto da 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 da.
I think Bruce is trying to speak.
Yeah, Vinny. How did you come to have such an interest in global affairs and the things that you talk about? I would think that the urge or the impulse to just live a relaxed, casual life must be overwhelming in New Zealand.
No, not really. I mean, we have a thing called tall poppy syndrome here, which what it means is the first poppy to grow taller than the others is usually the first to be plucked. And what that basically translates to in New Zealand culture is if you got head and shoulders above other people, like if you're more talented or skilled or wealthier or successful or something, you become a target for everybody and they start hating you.
Yeah, we do the same thing in Canada, don't we, SJ?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things, Vinny, I wanted to do by inviting you is give you a little bit of credit for your previous shows, efforts, and let people have a little bit more of you. It's a delight to have you on board. And think of this as a therapy session for all the times that you've had a negative hit off of society. We appreciate you here in North America, and the rest of the gang is from faraway places, some of them. And
from Canada, from Canada, all tucked away down there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
SJ, does Vinny sound like an English person to you?
No,
he actually sounds like New Zealand. I'm finally getting my ear for New Zealand, English, and Russian. Or in New Zealand, English, and Australia. Mm-hmm. Australia.
Because Australians, they kind of talk like this. And,
right.
Mate, if you've got yourself some Foster's beer, you bloody set, mate.
What's the beer that they like, Bill, in Australia? The two something? No, what was it? The beer. The beer. No, not Foster's. The other one.
Be Victoria Bitter. Victoria Bitter.
VB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Little tiny beers.
Mm-hmm. I apologize.
Or the Crown Lager. Or on top of that, there's the big, big ones that are like 2 liters, mate, and they're called a Darwin Stubby.
That's right.
Yeah, one of those for lunch, mate.
Helena Phoenix used to be here. She doesn't speak with that accent. And so it's like they do an Australian, but not the strong accent. That's Kim and Cass stuff you're doing there, isn't it?
Hey, do you know why seagulls fly upside down over Australia?
I didn't know they did, but why?
Well, I can imagine.
Because it's not worth shitting on.
Oh, boy. See, there's a
do you know what, do you know what the difference is between Australians and cheese?
No.
Sheep?
If you leave cheese in a desert for 200 years, it develops some form of culture.
I think
that's Bruce.
Bruce, you like that, didn't you? Bruce would love that.
snorted. Okay, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Time to get the cocaine out. She's snorting.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Okay.
In fact, what was his name?
Last decade. That was last decade.
I think it was Thomas Sheridan. He came on my show and he goes, "Hey, Vinny, do you want to see a Charlie Sheen chemtrail?" And I'm like, "Sure, sure, Brian." And he's like,
"Oh."
To bookend your Maori story, I just spent Sunday at a Thanksgiving meeting with Mohawk elders in Canada, and I always enjoy being around these people on the reserve. They just have just an amazing sense of things. They're the original us. They're the original alternative movement. When you start talking the way we talk, they just go, "You sound native," you know.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing how being screwed over for hundreds of years will wake you up to the truth.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The child services, the residential school. Did you guys do that in New Zealand too, the residential schools?
I'm not 100% sure we did that, but we wrapped kids around the knuckles and whacked them around the head if they spoke Māori in school. But that was at the request of their own chiefs, of course.
You yeah. bully. You're a bully.
What's a residential school? What's that mean?
Well, SJ, do you want to explain that? Or
well, the resident, we've had one of the best writers about the scandals of the residential schools in Canada, mainly basically faith-based schooling, no language allowed other than English, and horrible deaths, lots of bodies in the schoolyards, all of this stuff just starting to come to light in the last 20 years. I had a chance to talk to a lot of the residential school victims when I lived on Haida Gwaii, the Queen Charlotte's, because they were exposed to that same thing. But, you know, people are resilient. That's one of the things I think we tend to miss. And also, speaking of the shows and our guests and all you lovely people, one of the things I certainly have learned is how to listen to people. Over.
Yeah, and I think that's actually one of the best pieces of advice my producer gave me when I started in radio. He said, "Vinny, you can't be talking over the guests all the time, motherfucker." I was like, "All right, Mitch." And he's like, you better listen to me, man." It was great.
I think it's fair game to laugh out loud whenever you feel it. And I'll tell you, I'm delighted when I hear laughter. I always figure we're on the right track when there's a little bit of laughter there.
Well, yeah, it's like I say, just because we're being dominated and exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery filth doesn't mean we can't have a few laughs about it. Otherwise, what's the point in being killed?
Beautifully said. Well done, sir.
I liked what you said about every day is that you live, that just by being alive, you're standing up and you're going against, you know, the New World Order just by firmly believing in what you believe and staying alive. And you have 365 victories a year, you said.
Well, it's just really every day you don't go along with the New World Order agenda is another victory. So if you don't go along with the New World Order agenda day every single year, that's 365 victories. And the more victories you've got under your belt, the closer you are to beating the scum.
Mm-hmm. I
should be a bumper sticker.
It should. I can make you one, actually.
Yeah, that should be.
Well, you know, one of the ideas I wanted to talk to you all about, maybe not tonight. We're sort of running out of time here. I think we got about six more minutes so far. But one of the things I want to talk to you about is the different ways of being an activist. Like, I'm old. I'm an old guy. I'm all crippled up. But, you know, doing this allows me to at least have a finger in the pie to be able to comment about my observations of North American and global civilization and how it's changing. I'm researching the sociology of the internet. And I'm doing pretty good. I got a pretty good book coming along here. Maybe one of these days it'll pop out.
Maybe it's related to my sociopathy of the internet. I wanted to actually talk about like how everybody kind of can resist, and, you know, and it was a great saying, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And I was arguing with this person on Facebook this one time, and he doesn't do a show. He doesn't actually do anything other than sit around online and sharing stuff and what have you. But that's actually an integral role, all right? And people don't, listeners in particular, you know, if you think, you know, the radio show hosts are better than you or something like that, and you got like this, oh, I respect you. Don't put people on a pedestal, bro, okay? We're just people.
That's a good point.
And everybody's got their own skills, their own skill sets, right? And I call them keyboard truthers. Now, don't use that as a derogatory term, okay? Think about the war effort, okay? Back in World War II, for example. Do you think the frontline troops would have lasted more than a day if they didn't have somebody setting up base camp and cooking the meals, patching up soldiers, nurses, doctors, people actually coming up with battle plans, servicing broken down vehicles and things like that? That's what you are. You're the ones who actually provide the base camp and something to actually come home to. You're the ones that actually put a roof over our heads in a lot of cases. And I really actually get kind of frustrated with people in similar positions to myself, getting all high and mighty about it and thinking that you're better than other people who can't do what you do. Everybody contributes in their own way, contribute.
I do not put you on a pedestal. I have you printed on my toilet paper daily. I just take the so don't have to worry about that.
No, it was a really brilliant statement. I think it was a really brilliant statement. I just want to say that it is true. You know, if you have the skill of communication, can anybody hear me? So you have the skill of
You're probably
going
to have to speak about twice as loud.
Am I quiet? No. Oh.
That's almost about the right temperature.
And Angela, we can hear you. It's just that was a dig at me. That's all. Go on.
Stop cackling over the woman talking, for goodness sake.
She's not a woman. She's more powerful than a woman. She's like a superhero woman. Ooh. She can be listened.
Let her talk, for goodness sake. She's trying to pay me a compliment.
Last minute's game. If you haven't said anything, please feel free.
Oh my goodness, it is. We're going to be, because music's coming on soon. Hurry up, you guys.
Vinny,
go ahead.
Vinny, I sent you a contact request. Please do accept. Anyway, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I was just so slumped.
You were saying something like, oh, it was such a brilliant statement about how everybody can contribute. I think I captured the gist of it.
I have nothing. You said it all, Vinny.
Damn, I'm good.
I love getting in trouble.
Are we good at this or what, SJ?
Oh, baby, we're beautiful. Good night, everybody.
We'll be yes, this is blast. Thank you.
And everyone else.
Bye-bye. No, at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, of course.